welcome to Elephate in the Room, Elephate's weekly podcast. I'm your host, Derek Caraview, and entering the room today is Vinny Siletto, one half of the electronic band Giant Monsters on the Horizon, whose music we happen to use for this podcast. He's an independent multi-instrumentalist located in St. Louis, Missouri, a philanthropist, and an amateur gardener. He's also an old friend of mine from the Tampa days. He has been involved in over 45 albums, including one of my all-time favorites, Completed Works, Volume 1 from the Ashes of Grissom. It was a local band. If you can track them down, find out more about them, you really should, because they are fantastic. Today we're going to find out which commercial jingle gets stuck in his head, whether he would rather have a cook or a maid, and his choice between Genesis and Pink Floyd. So sit back, relax, get yourself something to drink, and enjoy me and Vinny in Elephate in the Room. So let's go ahead and get this started. So, Vinny, welcome to the program. Explain to our audience who you are. What do you do?
My name is Vinny Siletto, and I am a musician on my off hours from the day job. And I'm about 46 albums into this world somehow.
Wow.
Everything from small local releases here and there to, I've made it all the way to Japan and over to Eastern Europe. As a matter of fact, my latest project, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, which is a musical endeavor of mine now, is actually starting to get a lot of hits in Latvia for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment, but let's go and get started to know each other a little bit better. First question. If you could eliminate one food so that no one would ever eat it again, what would you pick to destroy?
Does high fructose corn syrup count?
Certainly, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I can get into all the spiel that I have about how high fructose corn syrup has, destroyed diets. And, well, I mean, I'm kind of living proof being my size. but, yeah, I really want the world to get back to sugar, or at least, America over here to get back to sugar.
Yeah, it's amazing how many things you find, not just the high fructose corn syrup, but just corn in general is in everything. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So filler, and I know that there's studies out there that prove that the human brain does not react to high fructose corn syrup the way that it does to sugar, which is why once America switched over to high fructose corn syrup in their sodas, all of a sudden the large 16-ounce became small as we gave way to big gulps and double gulps and, extreme gulps.
That is the weirdest, not maybe the weirdest, but one of the weird things for me when I go back to the States. And if I... Mm-hmm. Like a small drink in America is approximately the size of a large drink in Europe. And it was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when my brother-in-law came to visit, he couldn't get over that, this small Coke was a large Coke. All right. What would the title of your autobiography be?
I'm just coming it off the cuff here. Let's see. It's going to be, Confessions of a Cranky Noisemaker.
I'd pick that up. What is your guilty pleasure band?
I would say I really dig some of the female fronted pop music, like Charlie XCX or something like that. Maybe not as far as a Taylor Swift, because it's a little bit too much pablum, but every so often you find one of those that has like a good groove, like Pink. There's okay. Another good one. But I wouldn't tell anyone. Oh, wait, I'm telling people now.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
If you could pick three famous people to be a part of your entourage, who would you pick?
To be part of my entourage. Well, I've always been a fan of Peter Gabriel and his music, so I would count him as number one.
Okay.
Let's see. I would say, if we're talking that, I would also add David Bowie and Gene Roddenberry. I think the four of us together could make an amazing space opera.
And I would probably watch that. That sounds good.
See? I'm getting good here.
All right. Which former clothing fad would you bring back into style?
Wow. That takes into consideration the fact that people would consider me to be a fashion icon, so I'm kind of surprised. I would say, as far as that goes, I know a lot of people would laugh at it, but man, I got to tell you, the old JNCO jeans were comfortable. Mm. The big giant floppy jeans of the rave set of the 90s.
You'd bring back JNCOs.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun. I mean, it's one of those things where, you get to have bits flying free a little bit more than you would in normal tight pants.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I am really opening up to you, aren't I?
All right, then. What commercial jingle gets stuck in your head?
I'd have to say that Sarah McLachlan singing for the ASPCA. I don't know if, I don't know if it's over there so much, but there's that song that she sings that goes, through the eyes of an angel, far away from here. And it, God, I hope my singing isn't too off key, but throughout this entire commercial to give, this song is playing while you're seeing all these homeless dogs and these unsheltered animals just kind of shivering from the cold. And I'm thinking, if only the cameraman would put the camera down and take care of the dog. But that jingle will always, pop into my head every so often, every time I see a sad dog.
Well, yeah. That's why they can't shelter the dog, because if the dogs don't look sad, they don't make as much money.
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you never leave the house without, other than your phone, keys, or wallet?
This is going to sound a little silly, but I have two other things that I bring. One of them is a worry stone, okay. Basically just a little polished stone that I sometimes will rub in my hands for... I don't know what it is, but I kind of picked it up along the way, and it kind of soothes me in times of stress. Another thing that I have, and I don't know how many metaphysical shops you might have over there, but there's this thing called a pendulum, which is basically a small stone that's tied to a short length of chain. And so the idea is you hold the top of the chain in one hand while it hangs over the other hand. And as it moves back and forth, it should give you a yes or no message, I guess you could say. And, it's a little metaphysical, but I gotta thank your friend Christian there. Granted, he's not in the podcast here, but he's going to be editing. Hey, Christian. Because he's the one who taught me Paulo Coelho's album, Paulo Coelho's book, uh-huh. The Alchemist. And one of the things that book really kind of imparted to me is to kind of look for signs in the universe. And well, part of this pendulum is, if there isn't a sign, I will make a sign.
All right. So you leave with your phone, your keys, your wallet, and two rocks. Great.
Yes.
I like that. Now, our last question for this particular section. Mm-hmm. I asked you this question probably 15 years ago on a long defunct website that Christian and I used to run called Legion Studios. We did a little interview section, and I had interviewed you when you were still in the ashes of Grissom. So this would put it back in about 2003, I think, or maybe 2002 even.
Okay.
All right. So our final icebreaker question is, your band is in the middle act of a three-band bill. All right? But this is like a dream band. Now, of course, obviously in the real dream, you'd be the headliner, but work with me here.
Right.
Who is opening and who is headlining?
Let's see. Okay. Well, if we're talking about my band Giant Monsters on the Horizon is the middle bill. The opener, I can tell you the opener is this one-person electronic music act that I discovered when playing up in Chicago. This act by the name of Nevada Hardware. It's a one-person guy, and he is really keeping the electronic underground sound alive. Because I mean, these days you have electronic music in the airwaves, and that's all fine, but it all seems so very cookie cutter. So this one in particular act, Nevada Hardware, one person act, and he is really just keeping that edgy underground sound alive and happening. And I think it's just beautiful, really listenable, great stuff. As far as a headliner, I might also say, there's an act that I originally met down in Florida, although I think they're now in Los Angeles. By the name of Jackal and Hyde, not Jekyll and Hyde, but Jackal. And only because they have the same kind of enthusiastic fervor about underground electronic music. And, but they, of course, they draw much bigger numbers than we do at the present moment.
Okay.
So I would say that would be the bill. It'd be just a, all on electronic assault to bleed the ears, I guess you could say.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Which really leads us into the let's say meat of our conversation here. I'd like to talk about a little bit more about your band and how you approach marketing your music as a I'm assuming I believe a true independent. You're not on a major record label or anything.
True.
Right. So, so how do you get butts in seats? How do you get people out to your shows? How do you get people to listen to your music or to buy your music? I know we have a lot of, opportunities these days that maybe that weren't available a long time ago. But what's the method to your madness?
Well, to be quite honest, a lot of it is still the same kind of approach that we used to use way back when we didn't have Facebook and such, because anybody who is using Facebook exclusively is kind of, well, they're sort of a slave to the algorithms that are present within within Facebook. So for us, it's still, there's a lot of, number one, get your flyers and get out and meet people in colleges. And other places where they're you know, younger people. As you know, I'm really no spring chicken myself, but, you know, no, sorry, just have to laugh on that one. Get out to the bars, get out to the colleges and meet people. Then I would also say, make sure you're not playing too often in a specific area. And what I mean by that is we're located here in St. Louis, Missouri, and we try our best not really, and I know this seems counterproductive, but not to have a show every week or every month. Sure, you're making a little $20 here and there, $100 here and there, but if you don't play out as often, then when you do play out, it becomes special. It becomes a reason for people to see you because they might not see you for a long period of time. There's something about that brand-wise to, you know, make every single show that you do an event, make it something special. I would say also, It's important to reach beyond your in particular city. Say, for example, we have done shows within Nashville. We have done shows in Chicago. We're planning on we have a show planned for Kansas City. The whole idea is that you're making your band special in a number of different cities at the same time. Mm-hmm. So in that way, it's a technique that I guess the term that I heard was bloom where you're planted. And the idea is that if you're in one specific city, find other cities within a 4-hour radius or a 5-hour radius and start playing those cities on given weekends. This way you get to keep your job, which is kind of an important thing.
Sure.
But you're also making special events in a multiple number of cities. And then eventually what happens is you get a groundswell happening from an entire region of wherever you are. Now, if I remember correctly, Derek, I heard Christian tell me that you're doing stand-up comedy now.
Yes.
And that you're referring to yourself as an international stand-up comedian, which I find is brilliant.
I just got done with a little bit of a European tour, I could call it. So I played in four different countries, and then I'm going to be doing a tour of Poland, which is obviously my home base. But yeah. So that's been interesting because I'm not a name at this point. I've been doing it for 6 years, but no one is necessarily coming out to see the Derek Caraview. But they're coming out to see stand up in English, So I'm not filling theaters or anything, but I'm doing okay with getting some people out.
And my point is, that's international. Mm-hmm. That's brilliant, man. Kudos to you.
Well, thank you.
I'm still stuck in a fairly big country. So it's kind of a little bit more of a jaunt to make it to Canada or Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the probably the area that I toured is probably about the size of two American states. So.
Right. But still, it counts as international.
Sure. Sure. Now, how long has this particular band been together? Why don't you tell us a little bit more about this? Is it Giant Monsters on the Horizon?
Yes, Giant Monsters on the Horizon. We've been together, I would say, somewhere since around late 2014. And as far as bands that I've been involved in, and that I've been involved in, you've seen a number of my concerts way back when.
Yeah.
This is the longest running band, and I don't really see an end in sight. And we have done, I've done 3 albums with them. I'm working on a 4th that should be out somewhere in the autumn, a remix album from our 3rd album. Mm-hmm. And it's just really been absolutely brilliant. I found a friend of mine by the name of Madison. And as you know, I used to live in Florida, much like you, and much like Madison. She used to live over in Fort Lauderdale. And the funny thing is that we realized that although we never met each other in Florida, we have been to a number of the same concerts together.
Sure, yeah.
And so next thing you know, we just started talking about the kind of music we like listening to. And for me, moving up to St. Louis, I was kind of, for a little bit, just hesitant to really jump back into performing live music again. Yeah. But I really have to say, with Madison, things have been so easy because she not only gets the same influences that I get musically, but she is handling a lot of the production and performance aspects that I really don't care to. And so she's filling in a lot of the areas that I kind of have weak spots in, and I'm filling in the areas that she has the weak spots in. And so I think I've never really had cohesion like this before. And I'm just really happy about that.
That sounds like it. So now, obviously, from your answer about the 3-band bill, we can assume that it's you're an electronic type band. I mean, is it more on the rock side? Is it more on the dance side? Is it more, I mean, how would, let's go kind of veer just back into marketing a touch. How would you genreize your band?
The genrefication, let's see. it is electronic, but it doesn't necessarily adhere to a lot of what everybody considers electronic. I mean, usually with a lot of electronic music these days, you have a lot of four on the floor kick drums going at about, I'd say 128 beats per minute. And, you know, you have, of course, at least here in America, you have that whole bottle service thing going on. We're not like that. We're not really catering towards people who are fist bumping in the air. We're more soundtrack oriented. We're a little bit more along the lines of Jan Hammer and Jean-Michel Jarre, as opposed to, Diplo or Tiesto or anything like that. I can't help but write rock choruses. And a lot of these in particular songs that I'm doing, I'm actually picking up the slide guitar and playing because I really love the way that a noisy slide electric guitar plays against electronics, because electronics have a tendency sometimes to be so very sterile. And then all of a sudden you're bringing in this electric guitar and it's sort of like, a gorilla playing on monkey bars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of calls to mind, I mean, obviously not what you're doing, but just that kind of concept of let's say early period, or let's say ministry post, starting around the mind is a terrible thing to taste, or it's like where you got the kind of the sterile electronics, but then all of a sudden, here's just a really dirty guitar chord for you. And I'm sure what you're doing is very different than that, but that was the first thing that came to mind, just that juxtaposition when done right sounds great. I'm not a big fan of electronic music in general, but that kind of thing, because I'm a rock and roll guy, and so hearing that, like when you say, you can't help but write those rock choruses, I think there are a number of people in some electronic type stuff who have that background but also enjoy the things that synthesizers and all these other things also give you. So
yeah, there was a time, I would say, in the, we'll say the mid-90s, mm-hmm. somewhere around there, that I used to love getting together with other musicians, plugging in things that we didn't know worked together, like throwing a keyboard onto a guitar's distortion pedal, seeing what you could come up with there. It was all very Wild West at one in particular point. It was very, it wasn't a rote science. At the time. And that's kind of something that I'm still trying to hold on to. And I think I'm doing a fairly good job of it, holding on to with this band.
Well, that sounds great. So I have heard some, I've been able to listen to some of your music. And I should also probably mention now that you did provide the music for this podcast, I think, which we use at both the intro and the outro, is music from your band. So thank you for that. While you're here on the line, so the people know, they want to go seek that out. Now I'm going to assume that you are on. Are you on Spotify, SoundCloud? Where can the people find you?
Oh, we can be found on Spotify. We can be found on YouTube, iTunes. Any one of those major things. We have a few things on SoundCloud that I think were the. I call them the not ready for primetime players. most of our stuff, as far as the releases, everything can be found on Spotify.
All right. Excellent. Okay. We're going to wander into our second round here. We're going to play a game of Would You Rather. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Would you rather be locked in a room that is constantly dark for a week, or a room that is constantly bright for a week?
Without a doubt, constantly dark. Because A, I'll be able to get caught up on sleep, B, I think that the bright lights would kind of mess with my chi a little bit.
Just a little bit. Okay. Would you rather eat a box of dry spaghetti noodles or a cup of uncooked rice?
I would go with the spaghetti noodles. I just have a feeling that because they're already processed to get them into the shape that they are, I would have an easier time digesting them.
All right. So none of that bird exploding stomach business.
Okay. Oh, no, please.
Would you rather have a cook or a maid?
I'd rather have a cook. Only because I think I'm getting better as far as the cleaning up after myself stuff. And I think a cook could be exciting.
Sure. Would you rather spend a month in Middle Earth or in Narnia?
I would say probably I would go with Middle Earth. Only because from what I've seen from Narnia, things can change very quickly. And there's always that lion that's... I don't know. I would say Middle Earth, but I mean, something tells me that they'd kind of be the same for us regular human earthbound dwellers.
Probably. Would you rather have to sew all of your own clothes or grow all of your own food?
I would love to grow my own food. As a matter of fact, these days I actually have a garden out back that I've put together. You know, one of those simple offset gardens where you put the 2x4s together, get a few raised beds. We grow everything from tomatoes to squash, pumpkins, you name it. I've actually kind of become kind of a green thumb these days.
Oh, nice. So what's your favorite thing that you grow? What tastes much better from your garden than from the supermarket?
I would say, okay, there's a twofold answer there. Number one is that this year we grew these Cherokee purple tomatoes that are about the size of a good softball, and they're wonderful, very fleshy, and they taste fantastic. So we're definitely saving seeds from this batch to go into next year's harvest. And number two, and this is kind of fun, you guys have Aldi stores over there, yes?
Yeah, I think we have something like that.
Let me think about this. Okay. 3 years ago, we got a spaghetti squash from an Aldi grocery store. And we took the seeds out of it 3 years ago, planted it in our garden, not expecting it to actually grow because, you know, I think, you know, sometimes you get the seeds from stores and there's not really as good as the ones you buy in the packet. And next thing you know, we got a harvest from that one in particular squash. And we have been going three generations now so far with spaghetti squash. We talked to a local seed bank around here. If we do this for two more years, we'll actually have an heirloom variety of our own spaghetti squash.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I know. It's kind of fun. It's like... Who knew I'd be excited about this kind of stuff? And you may find yourself in another part of the world.
Would you rather have nosy neighbors or noisy neighbors?
I would rather have noisy neighbors because, number one, I can always escape it by going into the basement. Mm-hmm. We have a beautiful finished basement here. Number two... is that tells me they know how to party.
And you get to make a little noise of yourself. Hopefully they can't complain. All right.
That's the idea.
Would you rather be stranded on an island with somebody you hate or stranded on an island alone?
If we're both stranded on the island, I would say somebody you hate because there's always a chance that someone will come to their senses. Or rather both of us come to our senses and realize somehow we have to make a life on this island. Mm-hmm. Or at least find a way together to work together in order to message down any kind of planes or ships.
Sure. All right. And our last question for Would You Rather. Would you rather fall asleep crying for no reason every night or wake up screaming every morning for no reason.
Actually, between the crying at night and the waking in the morning, something tells me you already know my routine. I would say crying every night, only because it is cathartic, and it'll help me actually get to sleep, I think.
Just kind of release it all, release all the tension. Okay.
Exactly. Right.
Thank you very much. All right. I would like to talk a little bit more. We're gonna stick with the music thing. I know that you do others. You mentioned you have a day job, but I'd like to stick with the music thing for just a little bit longer. While I was reading, you know, trying to do a little bit of background research for you, I came across this thing about Rise and Scream, I believe it's called. And this was musicians working together to support immigration rights. And as far as I understand, this is something that you spearheaded. You wanted to donate your time and your talent to this particular cause. What can you tell me about that? I didn't see how the concert ended up or anything afterwards, but what can you tell me about this project?
Okay. Well, yeah, great. I basically, when in the first few weeks that Donald Trump became president here in America, there was a great deal of chaos about taking people who are immigrants and coming into this country and pushing them right out back from the countries that they came. As a matter of fact, I have a friend of mine by the name of Marie Schwartz, who came from Germany, loved the country so much, she actually formed a band called Marie and the Americans, but is now back to Germany only because for some reason they, a lot of the policies that have been invoked, you know, kick out all the foreigner types in order to make America great again. I just felt there was a need to support people to provide a proper path to citizenship here in the United States and to find employment and to help out the immigrant population. And here in St. Louis, because we are a city that hosted the World's Fair back in 1904, we have a number of pockets of different populations. We have Italian people who live in the Hill. We have, there's a Bosnian collection that lives over in this area called Bevo Mill, and they came from their situation over there. They're basically refugees. And there's this organization called the IISTL, the International Institute of St. Louis. And they provide a great deal of assistance for people who were immigrants or refugees from other countries in order to help them become American citizens. So seeing this organization, seeing what is happening to our country, which is a damn shame and a slow, slippery slope, seeing what's happening to our country, I felt I wanted to do something. And yes, we can donate money, and I'm donating money, but there's also the fact that I am a talented musician, not to pat myself too much on the back, but I know a host of other talented musicians from everywhere as north as Chicago to down over to Nashville coming around for this one in particular show. And so what we've done is so far 2 years in a row, we have put together this in particular show. And we're working on the third right now for 2019. And so far, we've raised $2,000 for the International Institute of St. Louis. And I want to just keep going and going until the day I die to help with that. It's a two-stage event where basically you have one in particular stage playing music while the other stage is sound checking. So you're moving back and forth between two in particular venues. So you're constantly getting a flood of music coming your way from everything from punk rock to electronic to Mideastern belly dance music and all things in between.
All right. Wow, that sounds great. What kind of crowds are you getting? How many people are showing up for these shows?
So far, I mean, you know, the venues that we have not really been the giant venues of St. Louis, but we are getting a good, comfortable crowd at our shows. I would say, I really haven't counted. I just know that there's been, some packed houses here and there.
And it's great when, you know, you can do something like this where you get to not just, like you said, it's not just kind of throwing money at somebody, but getting to use your talent and your time and really doing stuff to just really help the community by being there. You know, there's one thing, obviously, money is always important, and that's obviously you're helping to raise money for that. But it's another thing about just, you know, meeting your neighbors and meeting other people who care about this cause as well. And what other things can come from that? So maybe somebody who's in the show this year is going to be on the stage next year or doing something similar with, you know, a different type of art. And that influence that you don't even know about could also spread out. So that's exciting stuff.
Absolutely. The way I see it is there's a confluence of so many great reasons to be there. Number one, it's for a cause. Number two is that you have artists from all different walks of life getting together. Number three is that I'm dealing with a lot of independent artists. I'm not going to say local bands because they're not necessarily local mm-hmm. to St. Louis, but independent artists that should be in front of audiences because of their musicianship, their talent, their showmanship. To me, I think it's a great reason to have all of those together.
Definitely. All right. Well, that's fantastic. I look forward to hearing a lot more about that in the future as it gets bigger and bigger. All right. Now we're going to move on to our third and final round. This is the Elephate Lightning Round. You're going to be given two choices. You choose one. If you would like to expand, you may. If not, we're going to go right on to the next one. Okay?
Okay.
Question number one, Latvia or LA?
I'm going to say Latvia. Only because we're already starting to get a crowd there for some reason. And, it would be exciting just to get out of the country and to experience, something different.
Yeah.
Plus, my wife wants to go there because there's some kind of knitting technique that was formed in Latvia that she wants to study.
All right. Well, it's I've been over the border because a friend of mine used to live in Lithuania. So I've been to Lithuania a few uh-huh. times. So I've been into Latvia, but I don't know if I'd necessarily say I've been to Latvia, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Teleportation or the ability to fly?
I would say teleportation because it's a time saver.
Genesis or Pink Floyd?
Oh, my heart is always going toward Genesis. Ever since... And I know it's not the common answer, but the song In the Cage from The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway is the reason why I play keyboards mm-hmm. today.
Okay. I know you like both of them a lot, and because I know that there's I listened to another podcast you did, and you're talking about something specific with the Pink Floyd song, that there's a keyboard sound that you really like from Pink Floyd. So Shine On You Crazy Diamond, maybe there's something in that you like. Yeah. Anyway. Gary Numan or David Bowie?
Oh, good one. I would say, honestly, Gary Numan. I know that David Bowie can do anything, even from his deathbed now. He can do anything, and I'm sure there's going to be some unreleased music from him coming out soon. What Gary Numan does with some of the chord changes that he does just really speaks to me.
All right, then. Vinnie Vincent or Vinnie Paul?
Vinnie Paul, without a doubt. Vinnie Paul, I've been able to hear him play live. Matter of fact, yeah, with the Damage Manual, just a few days before Dimebag Darrell was shot.
Oh, that's right. They were in Tampa right before they went to Columbus.
They were in Tampa right before. We were like, I was working the Masquerade at the time, and... they were right before then, and they were just real great, awesome guys. And, Vinnie Paul just has this beat that just you think like a bear is playing the drums, you know, a big giant grizzly on the drums.
Vincent Price or Vincent van Gogh?
I would say, obviously, without a doubt, Vincent van Gogh. Now, don't get me wrong, Vincent Price, he contributed to the world, not just with the Thriller soundtrack, but all those old movies that he had. But I don't think there's an artist that ever really did as much, I guess, than Vincent van Gogh or, you know, or Picasso, of course, but I'm rambling here. But yeah, I would say between the two, Vincent van Gogh.
Okay. Now this one, in honor of the name of your band, Godzilla or King Kong?
I would say King Kong, only because I think that you'd be able to relate a little bit more to a giant ape than you would a giant lizard. I think you can probably, if people weren't shooting at him all the damn time, I think we could reason with him.
All right. Sweet or savory?
Oh, let's see. I would say savory only because my understanding of my own diabetes gives me an aversion towards sweet these days.
All right. So since you went with savory, I'm going to ask a specific St. Louis question as a follow-up. Okay.
Okay.
St. Paul sandwich or Gerber sandwich?
Well, number one, you've done your homework. Number two, I would have to go with the St. Paul sandwich just because it is the perfect amalgam of, how do I best put it? When the Chinese population came to America, they needed to find ways to take their cooking and make it very American. The fortune cookie is not a Chinese food. It's an American Chinese food. The St. Paul sandwich is, I think it's perfect because it's, we don't like that egg foo young. Here, put it on some white bread. Deal with it. So there's a little attitude that comes with the St. Paul sandwich.
Yeah, I've never had one, but that sounded interesting.
Interesting is the best way of putting it. St. Louis cuisine is kind of interesting in that a lot of its foods, we're kind of forged by accident. We have this dessert called gooey butter cake, which was originally made because someone took the flour ratio and the sugar ratio, the amounts, and switched them in a recipe accidentally. We have something called toasted ravioli that was formed because someone took some ravioli and accidentally knocked it into a deep fryer. So it's a lot of that between that and the St. Paul sandwich. It's all food that you would probably really enjoy at 2 a.m. when you come home from a bar and you just need something in your stomach. And I think that says a lot about St. Louis.
And just for the record, had you chosen sweet, I was going to ask either gooey butter cake or concrete. So that was
concrete,
my
without a doubt.
That was my follow up there.
Anyway.
All right. St. Louis Science Center or the St. Louis Zoo?
The St. Louis Zoo is amazing. It's free of charge. You can go there. Animals from all places in the world. The penguin exhibit is fantastic on a summer day. Like, if it's so damn hot, you can just go and chill in this really cold air-conditioned environment and alongside puffins and penguins. And if you're playing Pokemon Go, the zoo is littered with all those little animals. You know, just in case the real ones aren't good
enough
for you.
Got other ones as well. Excellent. All right. And our final question. Non-album B-side or bonus live tracks?
Non-album B-side. And the main reason being is that with a live track, you can't really control a lot of the elements that are going into something. I would say that with a B-side, you can really get to hear some of the more experimental stuff that an artist has to offer.
All right. Terrific. So thank you very much. So do you have any final thoughts? Is there anything that you would like to promote? What else should our listeners know about?
Well, there's a number of things. I would say, number one, please check us out, giantmonstersonthehorizon.com. You can go, of course, to our Bandcamp page from there, where you can take a listen to all of our albums as they come out. Plus, there's, of course, find us on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, anything that you can. And I would say we're doing a number of shows. Let's see, we have basically two more shows left of the year. We're also dedicating a little bit of time to a film that we're scoring. There's an independent filmmaker here in St. Louis by the name of an independent filmmaker by the name of Wolfgang, and he's writing, he wrote and he filmed this, it's about the PTSD-like symptoms of time travel. And Madison and I saw the rough cut of it last night, and it is actually very brilliant. And I'm really excited to be a part of that project. Then also we're going to, be on the lookout for Rise and Scream, number 3, where we're actually selecting a different venue for this one. I would say from there, just support your local independent musicians. We may not necessarily have the money of, major labels or so, but you know, we're there, and we're there for the right reasons, for the music.
All right, then. Excellent. Thank you so very much for taking the time, Vinny. I really appreciate you making some room in your day for us. That was fantastic. That's all I got. Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Thank you. Take care.
You have been listening to Elephate in the Room, hosted by Derek Caraview, produced by Christian A. Dumais. Music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elephate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elephate on Twitter at ElephateSEO and on Facebook at Elephate. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time. Hey, what are you still doing here? Well, I guess since you've stuck around, we have a little treat for you. And that is a new track from Monsters on the Horizon album, Remix/Alpha, which will be out this November. And the next album, Remix Omega, drops in December. So since you stuck around this long, why don't you sit back and enjoy this exclusive track, The Living Tribunal, right now from Monsters on the Horizon.